But then in this hymn, which, you know, is coming, is getting written down centuries later, you get the statement, the perfection of wisdom holds to no dharma whatsoever. So what that's a reference to is that, yes, there were these early practices that really did work, and they really did, you know, take people beyond this illusion of self. But then as time went on and a few generations went by, it seemed that some of the practitioners lost sight of the fact that these dharmas that they brought their experience down into were only a means to an end. But the end is to break through the sense of self. So you carry on the process until you've broken through your sense of self. But the dharmas are only a means to that. But it seemed that what happened was that there was a certain tendency to begin to think of the dharmas as themselves substantial. So at that point, people were seeing through the illusion of the self, you know, on this kind of scale, seeing through the illusion of that as inherently existing, but then falling into a more subtle delusion of the same type, but more subtle illusion of inherently existing dharmas. So it was a bit like the self itself had been seen through, but then the bits, as it were, that it's made up of, which are not in themselves substantial either, only a way of breaking through into a direct experience of insubstantiality. People got hung up on that, and they were thought to be, given substantiality. What a shame! Oh dear, you know. So something then, it seemed, needed restated, I suppose, and that was done by stating the emptiness of dharmas, and that's where the whole kind of lineage and teaching of the perfection of wisdom comes in. So the people that are writing this down and practicing it are having to kind of restate what was originally said by the Buddha, but find a new way of doing it so that the mistake, realizing, I suppose basically they realized the mis- some people realized there was a mistake being made, and then tried to sort that out by stating all dharmas are empty. It's not just that self is empty, all dharmas are empty. So although when I quoted from the Dhammapada, the word dharmas wasn't used. I don't think that's what's been translated. It's all conditioned things. I think dharma's a technical term, isn't being translated. You know, actually, there's the Buddha saying the same thing. All things, all conditioned things are impermanent and unsatisfactory, and all things whatsoever are insubstantial. And then that's lost sight of over some generations and centuries, and it has to be restated in a more technical way as all dharmas are empty. And then, so then in this context, we get, she holds to no dharma whatsoever. She never causes any dharma to arise, and she never causes any dharma to cease. Neither arising nor ceasing, she is the perfection of wisdom. So they're rather mysterious statements to us, but they're coming in because there's an emphasis needing put on that dharmas are themselves insubstantial, and it was necessary at that point the development of Buddhism. Where we're familiar with that probably is in the Heart Sutra. Those of us who are familiar with the Sevenfold Puja as we do it, I know not everyone here is. But the Heart Sutra, which we recite in the middle of that, breaks down, it even breaks down our concepts of spiritual attainment, doesn't it? Tries to get to the point where, all words cease to be effective, really, because the tendency is whenever you find a good way of describing something, you home in on that. So it's trying to push through that. So all of this is then what's the consequences of making acquaintance with the perfection of wisdom. She holds to no dharma whatsoever and is not stopped by any. So although all that part of this mysterious and difficult to, difficult to find words to describe, they're more like, those phrases I think are more kind of things you could drop into your meditation practice, just as pebbles into a pool, still water, and just let them ripple through you. But don't try and kind of understand them. if you know what I mean. Don't try and think, well, what's the Dharma again, and how many were there? And the Sarvastivadins had 75, and someone else had 86. And, you know. I'm making that up, by the way. But there are different lists. So don't understand it, and don't try and understand it in that way. Just try and stick with the not understanding. Just try and stick with the sense of mysteriousness about it. But use the phrases, because there were phrases that these practitioners used and meditated on and reflected on. So you know, write down a few and just use them in your own practice, and just see what happens. Just let the ripples give them some freedom. So it's difficult to say much about that. But then the hymn itself does go on and does state the consequences of living in accordance with that kind of experience of insubstantiality and emptiness. And it says, on account of the emptiness of our own marks. So that's a particular way of saying the emptiness itself of the perfection of wisdom. Various things happen. The powers of the Tathagata, powers of the Buddha, arise from really thoroughly penetrating this emptiness and shunyata. The powers of the Tathagata arise. She can never be overcome by anything. She is a protector. She's the antidote to life and death, the antidote to the wheel of life and death and the wheel of life. She never strays from knowing the self nature of all dharmas, because she knows it absolutely thoroughly and clearly. She knows the self nature of all dharmas is no nature, and she never strays from that. So she never, loses it. She never is in that situation where you're going, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I about to sit down for another 50 minutes? And I'm just going to struggle, you know. She doesn't get into that, which isn't to say that, there might be, for a stream entrant, there'd be difficulties, but doesn't stray away from the direct experience that's arisen. So she never strays away from it and practices the utmost patience. And the utmost patience is said to be uttara kshanti. It's the patience to be able to accept how things are. Quite a sort of sobering, isn't it? It's quite a statement, really. It takes the uttermost patience to be able to accept how things are, to be able to accept the emptiness of all things, and to see the workings of conditionality clearly in all phenomena. And this is a perfection of wisdom. And it's from this perfection of wisdom, last thing, that the wheel of the Dharma is set in motion. So, we've got another 6 days to try and fathom some of that a bit more than we have. And I think as we progress through the week, either myself or Ali or Sri will just read this every now and again. And maybe I'll leave the book out. It's marked. I'll leave the book out, and you can have a look at it yourself. And maybe write down some of the phrases. So there is a certain soberness to this. On the other hand, in her we can find shelter. Most excellent are our works, and she makes us seek the safety of the wings of enlightenment. Mm.